We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It feels like Miami. Miami, 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 Miami.
It feels like Miami. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heebie Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today is not producer, co-founder Brian Goines. He is off somewhere on the West Coast doing job things. He has a career that he's busy working on, so he can't be here. But instead, it is Steed. We have our professional Photoshopper, anime lover, and now reporter, photographer extraordinaire, Brass Jazz.
What's up, everybody?
At the Knicks and Nets game.
Womp.
Womp, you're cursed. We'll get into that later. And our statistician and pun master, the great, the up and coming, the god of basketball Heat Twitter analysis, Tekias Duncan.
Quite the introduction. I'll take it.
Buddy, you are it. Like, I think in regards to who has the most regard in terms of like what they think of what's going on in the Heat, it's you and Coop. I think that's it. I think that's the list. That's like as high as we go.
I would just like to add Alex to the list.
Because Alex Toledo of Five on the Floor, whatever that is. Whatever he's that fandangled thing. Whatever operation, that was Ethan Skolnick and Alphonse Sidney, whoever the hell that is.
Yeah, those guys.
You know what's funny about Alf? For those of you who don't know, Alf is our Heat Twitter president. And my sister's not a part of Heat Twitter, but she kind of gets it because I tell her like the stories and I explain stuff to her. And she always brings up, she goes, I still can't believe that Alf was democratically elected Heat Twitter president. And he was. Ethan, when Ethan was on 790 The Ticket, he, George Sedano, and there was somebody else, I think it was Michael Wallace, had an election on the radio after Spoon left Twitter. This was all like, this all happened. Some dude named Spoon left Twitter and Heat Twitter had no face and they had an election in which Alf went on the radio when he was just a podcaster. Wasn't like anybody. He was a podcaster for us. He and a guy on Twitter. He went on the radio, pleaded his case, and then was voted in by listeners and by Twitter users, the president of Heat Twitter.
We think some of our stuff on the pod is like inside, but like for that to happen on local Miami radio is amazing.
Bro, sanctioned by, at the time, I mean, Ethan was like the guy in LeBron's ear all the time. Like, Ethan was the guy, like the media guy in the market, sanctioned by him and George freaking Sedano. Elected Heat Twitter president, Alf. Okay, Alf was supposed to be on this week. He was busy. Hopefully he'll be on next week. We might have a surprise guest. We've been light on guests, but we're going to kind of get back into that. All right, guys. So the Heat have a really weird weekend. They lose two games against bad teams. I guess Brooklyn's an okay team, but I mean, that's a game that you have to win after they lost seven in a row. I don't really want to get into specifics as to that stuff, because I do think that those two losses are kind of indicative of something bigger that's been happening for the team. I do want to ask Brass, who is in both locker rooms, what are they like after those losses? Because, like, I think the Brooklyn loss, you can maybe toss off as, shit happens, and, like, we're not a great road team, like, whatever. But then the Nick loss, like, was there a really, like, palpably different vibe between the two losses?
It really sucked in there. I think after the first, after the Nets.
After the locker room really sucked.
Yeah,
in there.
It really did. Well, I will say, I've been credentialed a few games. And aside, the only game that I've been to, just in terms of my record, everyone's like, you know, pinning this on me being there. It's not really my record so much. The only loss that I've been to when I was credentialed was Wade's last game, which was in Brooklyn. But no one cared after that
Who
game
cared?
Because it was a joyous night. So this was the first time I got to see locker rooms after their first back-to-back loss of the season. How lucky am I? And after the Brooklyn loss, it was not great. It was about what you would expect, but they kept saying, like, you know, listen, we haven't had back-to-back losses yet. You know, we'll get it together. We'll try hard next time. So after this Garden loss, ooh, yeah, the air was really sucked out of the room. It was really bad. It's just kind of feels dark right there. You know, Myers, who's usually, you know, pretty bubbly.
The opposite of dark.
In there. Yeah, he, exactly. He was, you know, particularly, you know, in a sour mood. And Jimmy goes without saying.
So was he like pissed?
Jimmy was not. I mean, listen, I'm not here to.
Was he pissed at his 3-point percentage, or was he pissed at like just the general?
Jimmy gets pissed when his defense doesn't play like dogs. That's Jimmy's thing.
So the defense is like just like the team effort as a whole kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Goran was talking about the team effort after the Brooklyn loss. You know,
if I'm Goran, I'm hiding. I don't want anyone to find me.
Yeah, well, you know, because a lot of people have been talking about the offense, and the offense in the fourth was you know, bad both games. However, I mean, defensively is where they scored enough points in both games, Jimmy pointed out. They should have won both games on the offense, but defensively, they just completely broke down.
Actually, it's funny. They have I looked at the last two games, their clutch offense. They're like middle of the road. They're like, I think, 13th or something. Mm-hmm. The last two games in offense, they had like a 110-0 rating.
You should win. They scored 121 points in the last game. You should win that.
You should. Nikias, I know we've talked a lot about this. We're going to go two ways here. First, we're going to talk a little bit about the defense and specifically keying in on Goran. And I know Goran's a bit of a soft topic around here, right?
Yeah, he's having a bit of a resurgence. Low key six man of the year case. He's been fun on offense.
Yeah.
Yes. However, the defense is as bad as it's ever been. It's more pronounced now. Like, he can't stay connected to anybody. And that kind of forces the Heat. Like, it feels like they play a lot more zone with him in than they did, like, last year. That's a thing. Like, they're trying harder to hide him. But it just kind of stinks because now Goran's coming off the bench. And if you're not surrounding him with the starting unit, that means he's also coming off the bench with, like, Tyler Hero and
Myers. Plays a lot of minutes with him.
It's just not great. Goran's kind of been tanking the defense all year. We really haven't talked about it yet.
It hasn't really been an issue, but lately, so since Goran's return, the Heat are the 21st ranked defense at 112. By the way, their point differential, their net rating in that time span is plus 0.3. So what used to be the Heat running teams out of the gym and they're having like this incredible net rating, that's gone. Like they're playing 500 ball. I mean, they're winning a lot of close games, but essentially their point differential is 500 basketball.
It's just tough. I mean, at this point, and you know, funny enough, I wrote about it today.
Where can we find that, Nikias?
you can find that with the Five Reasons Sports Network.
What is that? I've never heard of them.
Oh man, that would have to be a separate podcast.
This would be an oral history of Five Reasons Sports, because it'd be great. You can check out Nikias's work at fivereasonssports.com. Is the launching pad weekly over there. Check that out. We also have Leif's, our Saucy Nuggets insider, Lefty Leif. Gut Check is tomorrow over there. So check out all that stuff going on.
Yeah. But at this point, like, I guess it really isn't fair to keep bringing Justice up, but like, they really miss Justice at the point of attack, because outside of him, it's Jimmy. And the Heat ideally want to have Jimmy roam. And so then after Jimmy, it's, you know, DJJ, who's been very good defensively, but is also shooting like 3% from three, it feels like.
Yeah. That's high.
So there's definitely a give and take there. And then after him, who's your best perimeter defender? Is it Tyler Hero? Is it Kendrick?
The resurgence of James Johnson, Nikias.
This is true. JJ has been quite good.
They need him.
Yeah, surprisingly offensively and not as much defensively, though.
He's been shooting sharp shooter. Well for three. It's odd.
Sharpshooter, James Johnson.
JJ's minutes since he got back, I've been impressed considering how little he played prior to this.
You would think he's on a contract year. He's fooling us again, but I like it.
Oh, man. JJ's been fun. But yeah, I mean, it kind of starts with the perimeter defense for me. If you can't get stops at the point of attack and the Heat are running that drop scheme, it's putting a lot of stress on the back line. It's putting a lot of stress on the help defenders because they want to crash down in the middle to kind of prevent those drives. And none of that's happening. The Knicks had, I think, 30 makes at the rim, which is easily a season high. And that's coming off of the Nets having like 23 or 24 makes at the rim in their game on Friday. So when you have bad perimeter defenders and you have a guy in Myers Leonard who is fine positionally but isn't really a deterrent at the rim, you get this. And that puts a lot of stress on the offense to score because you're not getting stops, which is why you have more Goran, you have more Tyler Hero, you have more Duncan Robinson, who very much got hunted at the end of the Nets game. Was not fun. They tried to have him hedge out and it got ugly pretty quickly. But yeah, so you're playing all these sharpshooters to try to basically play keep up. And that's where we're at right now. Like, the Heat just, they need personnel help at this point. Like, Justice coming back is going to help a lot if he's healthy.
A lot.
But outside of him, like, I feel like there's going to have to be another trade if they want to seriously contend in the East this year.
So a big issue that I've had with them is that I've been really critical on Twitter about the three guys that they play a lot of minutes together, which is Jimmy Butler, Derek Jones Jr., and Bam Adebayo. Obviously, Jimmy and Bam are their cornerstones, right? Like, that's their engine to winning. The issue there is Jimmy hasn't made a three since December 10th. And he's shooting, I believe it's like 25% from three, might be lower, after he missed a couple the other day. DJJ shooting 23%, and Bam doesn't shoot threes. Except for the one that didn't count that would have tied the game yesterday.
Oh, buddy.
Jesus, I felt so bad for Bam. So you got three non-shooters on the floor that they depend on, because their success has come with Derek at the four. And kind of to your point about the rim defense, I do think a lot of that is Bam is not playing center. So he's out there on the perimeter with these smaller fours, and he has to keep up because he's quicker than Myers. And then that's created a prey to the rim. When Bam plays five, the lineup data is really, really good. There's something like plus 12 or something. I would have to check again, but it was like incredibly good with him at the five. And defensively, he helps a lot there. So playing those three non-shooters has been an issue, because how do you really get your offense going? And they've really struggled as of late. And then, like you're saying, now they have to play more shooters to kind of balance that stuff. And those guys aren't good defenders, which is why there's been an uptick in Goran usage. And he's on the floor at a lot of important moments in late games. And that's kind of what we're seeing. Guys like him are getting hunted. Duncan, Tyler, you know, everybody's complaining on Twitter about Tyler not playing. But, I mean, defensively, I know he competes, but there's only so much that he can do, especially at his size.
Well, in terms of like, just the basic plus minus, you look at, I mean, Tyler's number just stands out big time because, I mean, he's the only one in negative double digits, negative 14, which is appropriate, I guess. And yeah, he was getting beaten up really bad in that next game.
A point worse with him off, with him on, and they're plus 9 with him off in almost even minutes. I think it's like 100 less minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like 1,000 versus 900 $1,000 on, $900 off. So,
you know, we like to think of this team as, you know, much of the season really being that kind of defensive dogs. But I mean, according to Jimmy, what he said after the Knicks loss is he just said they've had four great games defensively the whole season. So
did he specify which ones?
He did not. I'm sure we could look at
it. I'm kind of curious if he thinks that. I want to see how much that coincides with Winslow's playing, because Justice is going to fix a lot of, he's not going to fix the shooting, but he is going to really help the defense. And
if he plays again,
they need another creator too. I think that if it's not a dribble handoff, Jimmy triggers everything. And that has to be exhausting. Like, well, Goran. I mean, Goran triggers, but like when Goran's not in the game, it's Jimmy or dribble handoff. And Justice is a guy that can run a little offense that can help you as a creator kind of take some pressure off of Jimmy. And I do think that the free throws late that he's missing, that's tired legs, right? Like, you're asking a guy to do everything for you on your team. I mean, any empirical measure will show that when he's on the floor, they're destroying opponents. And when he's off, they're losing those minutes. That gap is widening a lot, and that's not good. He can't rest as much, tired at the end of games, and we're seeing what we're seeing, miss free throws, miss jumpers. He's going to have that little pull-up off that screen and roll. When those guys are going to stop him at the rim, because he's getting to the free throw line so often this season. So he's going to have, when he comes off that screen, he's going to have that little pull-up jumper that Kawhi always has. And right, if he's tired, how are you expecting him to make it with tired legs?
The thing that I found most surprising about that Brooklyn loss was offensively how well Jimmy played. You know, he ended up scoring 33 points, which is, I think, third most points this season. But that Jimmy scoring points does not translate to a win. And, you know, you would think going into the season, you know, if Jimmy's, you know, really taking the offensive reins, then they should be able to win those games. And they're not. It seems to be the games where he's, you know, he's scoring somewhere around the 10 to 12 range. Chances are they did a pretty damn good job in that game, and it was a pretty balanced offensive attack.
Those are all home games, Brass. They're only home team.
Yeah.
At home, everybody plays well. All those role guys, they're comfy hitting their shots. Tyler's giving that little left to right pull up three. It's all good at home. Jimmy doesn't have to. And on the road, when guys aren't, shots aren't falling, offense isn't going.
Yeah, he's got to take over. I think his highest scoring game was Boston.
Yes, which, it was 37.
Honestly, that loss doesn't count because Spo wasn't coaching. So it doesn't
matter. Spo wasn't coaching. Dan Craig looked lost, and it was the second night of a back-to-back. Got to throw it out the window. The Laker loss doesn't count either because the refs cheated. So technically, Heat are undefeated at home, and they haven't lost to the Celtics. I mean, life's good.
I had a little bit of PTSD after this experience from the, you know, Barclays and Garden. Back-to-back losses, because it was 6 years ago to the weekend that during the Big Three, I went to back-to-back games at Barclays and the Garden, and the Heat lost both of those. And that was during the Big Three. So, this felt a little too close to home to me.
So this really was your fault, and that's crazy.
What I'm hearing is that you're fucking cursed, dude.
No. That was 6 years ago, man.
Cut me
a little bit of slack.
Curses don't, like, I'm good. Just like the Dolphins are cursed, now all the Dolphins are like playing in championship games, and that injury burial ground, that's real.
Well, yeah, Dolphins curse is real.
That curse is real. I'm sorry if you're a Dolphins fan, but oof, that can't be fun. Like, maybe you like Tannehill. I like Tannehill, but man, that can't be fun.
Unlike most brands, untucked shirts are actually designed to be worn untucked. Untucked shirts always fall at just the right length, no matter his size, so he looks casual and sharp. With more than 50 plus fit combinations, untucked shirts look great on tall, short, slim, athletic guys of all ages. I'm a big guy, I have broad shoulders, and I always have a problem finding shirts that are the right arm length and the right shoulder width. It's a big thing, but untucked fits me perfectly. It gets my frame just right, I feel good, I feel form-fitting, it's incredible. The material, the designs, the color options, all so many for me and all kinds of styles living in Miami. You know, we gotta have the flavor, but sometimes we gotta be a little more business casual. So Untuckit has a little bit for everyone. So whether you're shopping for the perfect holiday gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuckit is the way to go. Visit Untuckit.com and use promo code BLUE for 20% off checkout. That's Untuckit.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off.
They're weird. There's so much about this team that I like. And there's, I think that when they're at their best, I think defensively the effort that they can give and when they're healthy, the kinds of lineups they can throw out are enough to bother any team defensively. They've put together wins against all the guys they play really well against the teams you want to watch them play well against. They gave the Lakers everything that they had. They beat the Sixers twice. They've beaten the Raptors on the road when the Raptors were healthy. They haven't beaten Boston, but they beat Indiana on the road. Granted, Brogdon wasn't there, but they ran them out of the gym. They've beaten the Bucks in Milwaukee, right? Like, they have all these great wins. It can't beat Orlando, but they haven't been able to do that for 6 years. So, you know, that is what it is. They beat the teams that they have to beat. And then now, all of a sudden, we have these weird losses to Washington and, you know, again, Orlando on the road again, and then these back-to-back New York losses. It's that magic from the beginning of the season where they were just dusting all these bad teams is coming to an end. And I do think that their health is starting to catch up with them. I think that short rotation is starting to catch up with them. Kelly's just completely fallen off the lot. Like, Kelly doesn't play anymore. And I know that he's not going to help the defense either. So, like, they're at a loss. They have a bunch of guys who have a one specific skill, or like they help one side of the ball, but not guys that help on both sides of the ball. And I think that's kind of been their major problem.
Yeah, I don't think the fatigue factor has been talked about nearly enough. Like, this is, like, for Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero specifically, this is like year one of them playing an extended season.
Yeah.
And with those guys specifically, they have such a small margin for error defensively already. Once the legs go a little bit, then that's where you see a lot of those creases opening up defensively, especially Duncan. Duncan has been, this is as bad as Duncan has looked in a Heat uniform defensively over the last few games.
But, and he's been solid all year. Like, I trust him a lot more than Tyler on normal nights.
Yeah, like, it's been bad. Like, he's been hunted out now. And that, if he isn't shooting 58% from three now, it looks even worse because he's just losing guys off the ball.
Telling me that he's Wayne Ellington? Is he he's Wayne Ellington-esque.
This is kind of reminiscent of Wayne, I will say.
Well, was it Christian that tweeted that out yesterday? He said, I think if Duncan plays every game the rest of the season and scores 2.3 threes a game, he'll break the Heat 3-point record.
We don't talk enough about that crazy Ellington shooting season. It was magical.
Best shooting season in Heat history. It's kind of wild.
Yeah. This team had Ray freaking Allen and Jason Capono.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, lifer, dude. I don't like. I'm worried. I'm kind of worried about them finding enough shooters/defenders. And Justice comes back and he doesn't fix the shooting problem. He does fix a lot of their issues. He fixes all of their issues except for the shooting. Another playmaker, a defender, can play the four. He's actually been surprisingly good at the four this season, which he hasn't been historically, which has been kind of really nice because they need that because they don't have another four.
Again, you're going with the assumption that Justice is going to come back, and we're not sure.
That whole situation is weird. Like let's discuss this a little bit because something's not really adding up. He gets a concussion, misses a bunch of time. In the middle of that concussion, it's revealed that it's a bone bruise. He's out for another month. Right, this is all continuous because after the concussion, he never came back. He hadn't played since that game in Denver. So he got concussed, played concussed, and then he was out for something else. Right? So what's going on there? And then he comes back, is not ready, and then that report gets leaked, which it's not Justice leaking that. Because makes Justice look horrible.
And not to mention all the social media madness that was going on.
I love Justice.
In that meantime.
We did that last show. Check that out.
No, it was great, but like it's odd. It's odd to.
And we've heard privately.
It feels like it's going against the reports.
Yeah. Not happy with Justice not playing.
Yeah.
Not happy. I know Dan said it on his show, not about Justice, but when Hassan was missing time, they said he's no Udonis. And well, I mean, we've heard that they've not been happy, and they've been rather open about telling people that they're not happy with him not playing. And Justice, and conspicuously after that kind of leaked to people, the MRI was revealed. So I don't know if that got back to Justice and he wanted an MRI for the to show that he was actually hurt, that he had a bone bruise, and then all of a sudden the bone bruise was revealed after that. So like a lot of the timing of this stuff is kind of funky, and that concussion that he had also had a bone bruise, I guess, at the same time. So like he was playing hurt and then said, I'm done and I'm concussed, and that, you know, like I don't really know what's happening, and it's weird.
I was really surprised to see him in Brooklyn. He was there prior to the game. Spoelstra already called before the Brooklyn game started. He already said that he was out for the whole weekend.
And he didn't talk to anybody, right? He didn't do.
He did not. He was off limits.
He and Jimmy that day, right?
Correct.
Because I was following the kiss to the crowd, which we haven't gotten into. Kiss to T.J. Warren. Man, yes. Look how crazy it's been this week.
I know. Awesome. Yeah, I talked to a lot of the players about the support that was thrown behind Jimmy. There is a camaraderie with this team.
They like each other.
They genuinely do like each other, and it's not something put on. And Jimmy really does like the teammates. So you know, unlike past circumstances with him.
I wonder how much of that is him trying to repair his reputation, and how much of that is I think he genuinely does like his teammates. I think that this is an environment in which he'll thrive. And I think that the guys on the team kind of fall in line with that. And the young guys are hungry young guys. So, like, that doesn't surprise me. But
I feel like there's a bit of relief with Jimmy, too. Like, this is such a great fit for him from an organizational standpoint. It's just kind of like, finally, I can finally... I mean, he's kind of said this, too. Like, he can finally be himself and finally be accepted for himself. Like, he's wanted to be this in Minnesota, and he's wanted to be this in Chicago.
You know what the good thing about him and this fit is that like as a hard he's a lot like he's a really hardworking guy and he really cares about winning and stuff like that, but he also likes doing the extra like Hollywood stuff, right? Like you know he has a lot of Dwayne in him in that sense too, right? He likes doing the shows. He does a lot of media. He does the show with Trevor Noah, The Daily Show. And he does all these things, and he's like very present. He's a really personable guy. Like, he's hilarious.
He's calculated but natural.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something like that for good, that man. For that TJ Warren thing to go down the way it did. I mean, that was hysterical. That was amazing.
He played his ass like a fiddle.
It was a
like he fucking knew.
100%. But then to have a Daily Show scheduled for that week, and a lot of it was sort of, you know, that was talked about there. The fact that that all lined up. When there's really nothing, that Daily Show thing was kind of interesting because there was nothing for him to push. He was simply just, it was just talking about, yeah, I'm on the Heat now. Yeah. He wasn't pushing any sort of product.
I think that that's him trying to get into the national consciousness now that he's like the Bulls. He was a young rising guy. And I think in the Minnesota years, I mean, you're in Minnesota. And I think media markets kind of matter in that sense. And he wasn't really winning. And now the team's really good, and he has a huge personality. So I think that's like, I think it makes sense that he's trying to promote himself, and I really do think that he wants to make roots here, and he probably wants to retire here, and like he wants to kind of like build his name and his brand here.
It's great to have a star again. It's great to have a star again.
It's great to have a number two option. I really like it. Like they've needed this for a while.
But what I was gonna say, it's great to have a star that gets free throw calls.
Try to slip that in there. I see.
He's so good. He's so good.
But listen, they're good. It's nice to get someone getting calls, because if he didn't get to the line as much as he did offensively lately, it's not really
and Brass,
so great.
That's what I'm worried about, because in the playoffs, that little get to the line stuff, that offensive rebound. You know what I mean? Like that kind of changes. And that's what I'm really worried about. I'm worried about their offense being sustained by something that I don't think works in the playoffs as well. And I think the Rockets are a really good example of that, and how it takes them a minute every playoffs to kind of reconfigure what they look like, because all of a sudden the game is called differently. Certain things don't work and James has to figure it out again. And Jimmy doesn't have a ridiculous step back three and probably the greatest arsenal of nonsense pick and roll that we've seen.
Like, I guess that's what kind of makes it, I mean, it's equal parts scary and also a little bit relieving, because like all Jimmy needs is to return to like average on his pull-up, because like he's never been an awful shooter. Like, he's never been a good one, but like, he's been fine. As long as he hovers around like that 37 to 40% mark from mid range, that's really all he needs, because he can get to the rim and he can make all the passing reads necessary.
His passing has been like superb. I didn't know that he had this in him.
Yeah, like, he's been career year in assists. Like, he looks so much more comfortable out of pick and roll and kind of attacking off of those dribble handoffs whenever he does flow in those actions. He just has to get the in-between game back. That's really all that's missing at this point.
He's going to have that whenever he wants.
Yeah, teams are going to give it to him. I mean, that's part of why I was kind of scared of like a Philly matchup, and still am, because I do feel like the Heat don't, their second best pull-up threat is either Kendrick Nunn or Tyler Hero.
And
they can make those shots, but I mean, there are different things to worry about for both of those guys. And if Jimmy isn't knocking down pull-ups, I mean, that's just a lot to ask for him to get to the rim that consistently and get to the line that much against Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and Josh Richardson and all those guys. But obviously, that's way down the line.
You've been pretty consistent with that, too.
To find a jumper soon.
Because we talked about that in the chat earlier about, I was kind of wondering, like, if the Heat would, like, right now, if the playoffs started today, like, well, I framed this after the Pacers win, before these catastrophic New York losses. If the playoffs had started today, who would be favored, the Heat or the Sixers? And you said adamantly the Sixers would still be favored, even if the Heat had the hope seed. And I probably agree with you.
I think everyone would pretty much agree with that. Even
it's kind of weird because the Sixers have been a disaster.
Oh, don't get me wrong. The Heat are beating the Sixers.
You have the guts.
Tell them.
But still, I mean, in terms of, yeah, I don't think that that's a crazy thing to say. I mean, you got to look at what the Heat has done so far. This team is not at their final form. And I mean, I suppose they are this season if they don't make any more moves, because they're still the justice factor.
Well, I mean, hasn't played 10 games in a row yet.
That is the main one. But again, we don't know what's going to happen with that. But, you know, justice aside, unless they make another move, they are in their final form. But in terms of, you know, a couple years from now, you know, 2021 could look very different. And even people that were high on the team, a lot of local people, this is far surpassing the expectation that they went into the season expecting. I think there's one thing that, the one reason that we lost these games is the second seed doesn't, it doesn't agree with us, the second seed.
No, they need it.
We can't touch it. No, but I'm saying we can't touch it, because then we start to lose. Every time we get up there, we get in that second seed, we just have some stupid losses. And I think we're just more comfortable as a 3 seed.
That 2 seed is going to be so important, because A, you get out of the Milwaukee bracket.
That's true.
B, you get one of the easy Net/Orlando matchup. Easy, I put in air quotes, because honestly, I'd rather play the Nets with Kyrie than Orlando. Just dead ass. Nikias might think I'm crazy. I might rather play the Pacers healthy than Orlando.
Yeah, I would say your pace. I say you're a little crazy there.
I think they win both.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell Oladipo is going to look like. And I think that's like, none of us know. But as presently constructed with the Brogdon and all that, like, that Orlando series would be cesarean section basketball. I would go crazy watching Evan Fournier do whatever he wants the entire series. And I think the Heat would win, but every game would drive me crazy.
Playoffs are so different, man.
I know, but you know how this goes.
I feel like
the playoffs are a little bit different.
DJ Augustine is going to do something one game, and it's going to drive us fucking crazy. Vooch is going to have a 2020 game, and Evan Fournier is going to average. He's going to look like LeBron.
I lived in Brooklyn back in the last year of the Big Three, and Miami dropped all 4 games to Brooklyn.
That team was a switch team. It's different. That Heat team had a switch. This team doesn't have a switch.
But for the Pacers, you don't even know how good the Pacers could be. Considerably better once Oladipo comes back.
Or maybe he's bad. Maybe he's not the same. Maybe he needs a minute. Remember when Paul George came back from that leg thing, he wasn't like good immediately. It took him a minute.
Very true.
You know, like these kinds of things, guys need time. I mean, look at Porzingis. It took him a little bit. Even the beginning of this season, he did not look good. And it's kind of been recently that he started to play well. But I mean, even him, who had an extended time off, came back from a bad injury and like didn't look good. Gordon Hayward needed a year, and now look at him. He's playing awesome, but he wasn't really great before. So like counting on him to be 100%, I mean, I think if you get 50-something percent of what he is, I think you take that if you're Indiana, but like I don't think looking at him as a number one option scoring threat in pick and roll is not really what he's going to be on his first.
I don't know, but Orlando over... You know,
it's easier than like Evan Fournier. Like, I hope they move him.
Then the like Kyrie in the playoffs.
The Lakers should really look at him. I don't know what they have to give.
He'd have their demons against Orlando, but like ultimately, A, they're a better team. B, Orlando is without Jonathan Isaac for the rest of the year.
That guy's good. Oof.
He's very good.
Oof, that guy's good. He's probably the best player that nobody talks about.
I probably agree with that. Like he's gonna win. He should win a few Defensive Player of the Year awards.
That's crazy, guys. He's like he's a monster. That guy in Philly too. But like Isaac is just
he's great. But yeah, I would definitely take the Orlando matchup over the Indiana matchup, and definitely over the Brooklyn matchup. Brooklyn just has so many guys that can hit shots, and the Heat have bled 3-point attempts all year. Something that you've been hammering all season long. And like that's just a matchup for, you know, Joe Harris to go off, Caris LeVert to go off, assuming that he's, you know, strung together a bunch of games by the play.
I just saw it the other day. I saw it.
You did. I mean, Torrey Prince can shoot. Spencer Dinwiddie can get hot, and Kyrie's can do what he does if he doesn't tank the locker room. We'll just have to see how that goes.
A little off topic. Did you just see the pass that Marcus Smart just threw?
I did not.
No, I'm paying attention to the podcast.
I've ever seen in my life. It was incredibly off topic for a random Celtic Bulls game that doesn't matter, but at least it's not a Raptors game. Am I right, fellas?
Marcus Smart and greatest thing don't belong in the same sentence.
He's good, man. He's good. If the Heat had him right now, he'd help.
They have him, but he's just just dealing with a back injury right now. That's all.
Marcus can shoot now, though. Marcus is a sharpshooter.
I mean, a year late, you know, Justice shot 38% from three over the last two seasons.
I have a question. The Celtics need a big. No, I don't. There's nothing the Heat really can offer. Because I'd like Marcus, and he's probably what's going to cost them to get a big, but they could probably do better than.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they're getting rid of Marcus Smart for anything, honestly.
I don't know, man. I've heard too many people say, like, Lowe and, like, other guys who would be plugged in that haven't completely ruled out that happening if they want to upgrade at big.
I mean, like, he's the mid-tier salary that they have. So, yeah, like, if they're going to do something like that, he would have to be it. Like, I just don't see a mid-tier salary big being worth it.
They're the opposite of Miami because all Miami has are mid-salaries.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't, and I think preseason we all thought that they'd be super active for a trade, but like it doesn't even look like there's really anything.
It doesn't make sense unless they're gonna do like Hayward for Drummond, and I don't think they'd do that.
Gordon Hayward is so much better than him.
What do they need a big for? They have a potential all-star in Taco Fall.
You got a point.
Like, God. Watch, Drummond's going to get traded to Atlanta, and he's going to like not be great, and this people are going to start blaming Trae Young next. Watch.
Oh, Hawksbeat going to be lit.
Oh, man, Hawksbeat's finally going to take off, dude. Finally.
Hey, man, you give me Trae, you give me Andre Drummond. That might be enough.
You holding Andre Drummond's water is surprising. Although my hatred for him is really weird. I'll admit, I don't know where it came from.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not even calling him like a top three center or something. I'm just like, hey, Andre Drummond is actually good. And you're just like, no.
He's like, he's not good for what money he'll earn for the rest of his career.
I feel like that's a different argument, though.
But like,
like you said, Hassan was better, and I disagree with that.
Hassan is better. I think Hassan is better. I'd rather have Hassan. I think, well, by the way, like statistically, I think Hassan is a better role man. Hassan is like a really bad screen setter, and he's still a better guy, better option of the pick and roll.
Yeah, he has better touch. Like, I will give, like, he has attributes that are better than Andre. I think Andre is just a better player overall.
I think also rebounding is really overstated, which is why when people point out the Heat's rebounding woes, like, I don't really care, because at the end of the day, I do think that when they're at their best, they're going to shoot enough threes to offset anything that they give up rebounding. Like, it's not. I thought we were past the days of, like, rebounding is really important. Like, as long as you're adequate, which they are, you know, they're not, like, worse in the league. I think that's, like, good enough. Like, what is elite rebounding really buy you? And I see a lot of people kind of throwing that out after these losses, and I'm like, they didn't lose these games because of rebounding.
I mean, second chance points have hurt though. Like, I feel like it's a situational problem more than anything. Because if you're going to Bam at the five, then that means you're going to have DJJ at the four. And if you're going against a team with an athletic front line or a bigger front line, then that's where you kind of get into trouble, especially if DJJ isn't hitting threes on the other end.
That happened against the Lakers, and I just think that Justice kind of changes that, because Justice is strong enough and a big enough body that while he's not the leaper that DJJ is, I do think that it's just going to be better team rebounding with him in.
No, that's a fair point.
Like, against those stronger teams, like, and against other teams, you can probably get away with some DJJ playing four rebounding. I don't, like I said, I like the team, and I think they'll win a playoff series, especially if they get the two seed. I think if the two seed, like, mm-hmm. pretty for sure that I think that they're going to win. But then we start getting to the second round matchups. The East, man, think about how fun one of these six good teams is going to be left out. And that's going to be crazy. One of those first round matchups, like the Sixers, if they're not a top four seed, like whoever the hell they draw, that's going to be a really fun series. And it's going to be a bunch of teams trying to dodge the Sixers. Like the end of the year of the East is going to be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's why the Heat probably shouldn't lose to the Knicks or get lit up by Garrison Matthews. Or
they let Taj Gibson go off in 2020. Come on, man. Ugh. Like, really? Like, Taj Gibson?
The serial underrated big man, Taj Gibson.
Brass, did you learn that Taj Gibson was still in the league yesterday?
Oh, no. I knew and made fun of it very much when the Knicks signed him this offseason.
Oh, that's right. You're in New York. You would know. I knew because of fantasy, but if I didn't play fantasy basketball, I don't think I would have known that Taj Gibson is still in the league.
It's all right. I mean, Taj was good last year.
I mean, it's Taj Gibson. Come on.
I mean, like, much like the Knicks, like, I don't know if I hated any of their signings in a vacuum, but, like, when you put six of those guys together.
Ah, much like
the yes, draft RJ yes, Barrett.
But when you trade away a unicorn to clear cap space to get Kevin yeah. Durant and Kyrie Irving.
That's so funny.
I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah, you can't trade away Kristaps and then, like, sign Julius Randle. And then also sign Marcus
Bro,
Morris
they didn't
and
get
also
anything
sign
for him. Right. They got nothing. They got shitty Dallas picks because Dallas is gonna run the league for the next 10 years. That's insane, man. Oh my god, they're so incompetent.
It's the most on brand off season a team has ever had.
Bro, like, they can't do anything right. They can't do anything right. And they fired poor Fizz. They should have just tanked.
Listen, Fizz would have given us this game.
Fizz would have given us this game. Yo, Fizz, let me tell you something. I know it's not a Knicks pod, but, like, yo, Fizz looks really bad after this guy took over and they run competent offense.
Mike Miller's been good. Like, they're
what
actually
the
running
was,
pick and roll.
Yeah. It's, bro, why would Fizz? They were like, the Knicks were leading the league in ISOs with five power forwards. Like, what the hell was he doing?
Well, when your power forwards are Julius Randle and also Marcus Morris,
Bobby Portis, baby.
And also Bobby Portis. Like, that's kind of what you're signing up for.
Did you see what Bobby Portis said the other day to a reporter about what he imagines before games?
Oh, God. Do I even want to know?
Bobby Portis says that he imagines the other team slapping his mom.
Oh, my God.
So Bobby Portis gets in the game, baby. Listen, we could be down on the Heat, but at least they didn't sign Bobby fucking Portis, okay?
So did Nikola Mirotic slap?
Yeah, right.
I'm just trying to figure out.
He slapped him out of the league, man. Where is he? He's in Spain? He could use him. Oh, man, boy, could the Heat use him.
I mean, just dust off Kelly at that point.
You like him as a... Listen, I'm a very pro-Kelly guy. I think that people have been way too hard on Kelly.
I mean, he's still hurt. I mean, he's clearly not playing at full health.
I think he's better than Myers. I'm sorry. I don't even think that's disputable. I think if you're running zone, you throw Myers out there. But other than that, throw Kelly out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Denise has to still be bothering him. He's been so bad defensively. He's normally been like a fine position guy. And, you know, he would be the lone Heat guy taking charges at this point because it doesn't seem like they do that anymore.
Are you guys a little surprised that over the last couple of weeks, Chris Silva has gotten like no minutes at all?
They've shortened the rotation. It's been really weird. Like,
just in terms of like just getting the energy, you know, you know.
I like him, but like he's just not good. So I don't like sure, he needs not. Reps, but like his place, I'm like, he's basically a rim running undersized five. So you're already kind of limited in what you can do with him and also building out like a positive lineup. Then on top of that, like he just hasn't been playing basketball for that long. So it's not really slander. Like he genuinely doesn't really know what he's doing out there yet. And I think that he can really afford to give him those reps, especially with like the 45 days or whatever.
Yeah,
I guess they signed a 3-year deal today, though.
Was it today?
Yeah, I saw that. Was it Albert was saying?
Signed, or is he like writing about what it looked like?
I thought they couldn't do it yet.
Did they offer it? Maybe they offered it, or they're about. Oh yeah, you know, preparing to do it.
Yeah, I heard something about the bird rights. Yeah, you're right. I did hear about that, but I don't know if that was official.
We're hashing this out on air.
Yeah, but I guess
Ira Winderman, the Heat will sign Chris Silva to a standard contract. I don't know what that means.
Thanks, Ira.
Heat to convert Chris Silva to a standard deal. Add a new two-way player. Heat convert. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
You had it from Ira.
Let's I guess he'll be at every practice then, which has been, I guess, part of the reason he hasn't been like really reintegrated. He's got a lot of spunk.
Here we go. Ira. And I 11 feel hours
could
ago.
Light a fire.
Ira Winderman. Heat to sign Chris Silva to a standard contract with deal to be completed by Tuesday. He put competed. That's a typo, Ira. I've been there. The 3-year deal will likely have an option or trigger dates in the 3rd year. Okay, so we don't really know anything.
Good for him.
Okay, good for. I mean, he's a super Heat guy. Like they're gonna love
he
him.
Is. Mm-hmm. Like I definitely see where the upside is. I just don't know where. You kind of have to play him next to Kelly. I feel like.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
And I don't know if the Heat want to do that right now.
Yeah.
They're weird, and I really think that. It's going to be really hard to evaluate this team for the playoffs until we have an idea on is Justice going to be a part of a playoff rotation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what else you can. I mean, he's a key cog in what they're going to do. Like everything that we're talking about, minus the shooting, he fixes. And if everybody kind of regresses positively again, I mean, Nunn's down to 34% from three, which he was over 40. Right, which is obviously, I mean, he's a rookie, he's going to regress that way. So like if Jimmy can kind of regress up to, man, low 30s, I think we take it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If DJJ kind of goes up, like if guys kind of regress a little bit higher and they can kind of like make some magic happen, then with Justice everything looks better. It's just really hard. They're in a weird spot.
They're going to need to consolidate soon. I feel like that's your answer. It may not have to be for like a Drew Holiday or a superstar or something like that. But at a certain point, they're going to have to turn 2 into 1 or turn 3 into 2.
I've been saying like what makes sense for them, because like I think Kelly's a useful player, maybe not to the Heat, but to somebody. He's a 40% shooting guy who could play 5. Like that's valuable. I don't care what you say. Like he could pass. He can run sets. Like you could do stuff with him. Right, he's not Myers Leonard who just stands out and shoots and sets screens and like runs funny, right? Like Kelly is a guy that can really help your offense. And while he may not be useful to the Heat with what they're doing, I'm pretty sure that like somebody would like need him, and maybe they can swap him for kind of a smaller guy, maybe a wing, maybe not as good as him, but you know what I mean? Kind of like swap contracts that don't compromise 2021.
They can send him to Sacramento for Dwayne Dedman.
I'm not a big Dwayne Dedman guy. He's still not shooting the ball well. At this point, I'll try anything. But I love Kelly. But doesn't Dedman's contract run past 2021?
I think he has. I want to say he has is either a team option the last year or a partial guarantee in the last year. So I think, his contract is fine. I don't think they will have any issue moving off of it. But like he's kind of been buried in Sacramento's rotation. So Like, we have enough of a sample for him to know that he can shoot and he can protect the rim. And the latter point is something that he definitely need. Like, he's a guy that you could comfortably play next to Bam Adebayo in closing lineups if it comes down to it. So, I mean, I think that's a kind of a smaller mid-tier guy to target if they're going to flip Kelly for someone.
So before we go, best guess, do you think they make a move at the deadline?
Yes.
Yes.
And do you think it's going to be like in the consolidation kind of?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a consolidation move.
BJ.
Yes. I'm not expecting like a big splash or anything, but.
It's kind of sad. We were excited for it. All this Jrue Holiday talk.
I mean, a lot. I do think a lot of this is contingent on what the justice and situation is and how that plays out in the coming weeks.
It's tough, guys. Like, he is going to change so much of what they do. And even though he didn't look good in the Indiana game, I think his impact, you can kind of see. Like,
that was his first game back in like 15 games.
I know, but like you could see, even when he's on the floor, he helps. That guy plays winning basketball. And I know people are going to call this a justice propaganda show, but it is what it is.
Yeah, he won us the only win on the road this week. So.
Justice better.
Justice better now, better now. You better watch out now, his shot is found, shot is found. You know he's never gonna let you down, let you down. He'll give you everything a championship ring. Expo, we know that justice better now, better now. From all his haters, we hear not a sound, not a sound. Ilya Sova on the poster now, poster now. He's better than Devin is, he's better than Devin is. Oh, I cannot believe he slipped a 10-year-old. Celtics, keep your offer, we will win slow. Devin Booker scoring, but his wins low. Justice Duke connection, call his friends low. 20 on his jersey, hustle catching all eyes. Only 3 years, extend the rest of our lives. Put Charlotte on a poster, got it by the bedside. Remembering Toronto, game 7 at the 5. Luke Hayes, totem, 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 totem. That point, Justice is how sports should mold him. Simmons probably trying to forget, cause Justice Winslow got a ball in his head. Have only things that Justice better now, better now. You better watch out now, his shot is found, shot is found. You know he's never gonna let you down, let you down. He'll give you everything a championship ring. And Spo, we know that Justice better now, better now. From all his haters, we hear not a sound, not a sound. Ilya Sova on the poster now, poster now. He's better than Devin is, he's better than Devin is. Oh, I seen you in the chip at Duke. Now you're on Euro stepping dudes. Some have been critical of you, and yet you only 22. And I love it when you're on the break, and you dunk acting like something stank. You got so much time to learn the game, plus another year to play with Dwayne. Justice better now, better now. You better watch out now, his shot is found, shot is found. You know he's never gonna let you down, let you down. He'll give you everything a championship ring. Expo, we know that Justice better now, better now. From all his haters, we hear not a sound, not a sound. Ilya Sova on the poster now, poster now. He's better than Devin is, he's better than Devin is. Oh, 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 oh. I promise, I swear to Justice better. This man can play one through the five. Pat Riley thinks that Justice better now, better now. You better watch out now, his shot is found, shot is found. Your boy Justice will never let you down, let you down. He'll give you everything a championship ring. And Spo, we know that Justice better now, better now. From all his haters, we hear not a sound, not a sound. Ilya Sova on the poster now, poster now. He's better than Dan.